That's tomorrow. And that is it for us today. Okay, I don't know what. Whatever it is, it's not right on a teleprompter. I don't know what that is. I've never seen that.
We are going to do InfoWars. Yeah.
Okay, but... Okay. Now, I can't read it. There's no words on it.
Okay. Ready?
There's no words there to play us out. What does that mean, to play us out?
Owen Schroyer is going to do a new broadcast.
All right, go. That's tomorrow, and that is it for us today, and we will leave you with a... I can't do it.
Okay.
We'll do it live.
Okay.
Well, no. We'll do it live! Do it live!
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show and share the link today.
Horrible for our society.
Sometimes when your hopes have all been shattered, there's nowhere to turn. You wonder how you keep going. Think of all the things that really matter and the chances you've earned. The fire in your heart is growing. You can fly if you try.
At InfoWars MD, you can find the most popular in-demand supplements available and sourced at the highest quality. Nitric Oxide, Probiotics, Joint Relief Max, Nerve Renew, Prostate Support, Collagen, Superfood Greens, Turmeric, Ashwagandha, CBD, along with Mushroom Max Nootropic, Better Mood Plus, Libido RX, and Good Night Sleep. Improve the quality of your life and support the InfoWar. Go to InfoWars MD under Health and Wellness at InfoWarsStore.com.
World Order.
What kept you?
We ran into some old friends.
Is the ship all right?
Seems okay if we can get to it.
If you strike me down, I shall become more powerful than you could possibly imagine. Harrison, visit InfoWars.com/show now.
I hope that old man got that tractor beam out of commissioner. This is going to be a real short trip. Okay, hit.
While other networks lie to you about what's happening now, InfoWars tells you the truth about what's happening next. Visit InfoWars.com/show today.
Now, my in-studio guest, Anthony Rubin, has been down to the border. He's been covering it. He's seen it firsthand what's going on. And so I want to talk to him now about that situation. And it's a good juxtaposition to sit here and be threatened by people like Zelensky and Lloyd Austin and others that, oh, if we don't endlessly give money to Ukraine and everything else, that you'll have to die and you'll have to go to war. It's a national security threat. But my guess is the national security threat is obviously much more extreme at the southern border. But this is just common sense. I mean, that's what's so crazy is this is how dumb they think us are. They think we are, or how much of a trance they think they have us in, because you've seen it firsthand. If we're really to believe that somehow Russians are a threat to us, well, then they could walk right over the southern border tomorrow, essentially. So how is that not being addressed? It shows that the whole thing is a lie. But let's just focus on what you've seen down there. And I mean, just scoop me. I've been away for a couple months. I'm guessing nothing has changed, still wide open, pouring over.
Yes. Well, absolutely. Well, first of all, it's an honor to be with you during your first show back. So
yes. Well, that is pretty crazy to think.
Yeah, absolutely. And so, yeah, I mean, a lot's happened since you've been gone, man. So what I did over the last month, from mid-October to mid-November, a month exactly, October 15th to November 15th, I went from Quito, Ecuador, all the way to the U.S. border. I started literally in Quito, where the whole world's flying into, because they have the easiest entry requirements, and it took me all the way up to the U.S. border, where I got kidnapped by the Gulf cartel. And so, you know, I saw the whole thing. I crossed through the Darien Gap. I got smuggled into Mexico by the Sinaloa cartel. I rode the train of death embedded with a massive caravan. And the point is, basically, to what you're saying, you know, to say this is a national security threat is an understatement. We're being invaded. I mean, if we look at the definition of an invasion, it's an incursion by a large number of people into a sphere or space of activity. It's clearly what's going on. So we're being invaded by, you know, every single country that you could list. And, you know, I've seen the whole thing from Quito all the way to the U.S. border. So any questions you have or whatever the audience might want to know, you know, happy to get into it, or I could just ramble on.
Well, this is all available at muckraker.com, I'm assuming is where you've uploaded all this, because this is an incredible story. I guess I would ask you like this. How hard was it for you to complete this journey? What was the length or what was the ease of access or the difficulty of access?
It was easy because these people are capitalists. But of course, the hard part is if they discover that you're an American, depending on who you're talking to, you might get kidnapped, like I was kidnapped.
And they think that they can blackmail somebody or try to extort you?
Exactly. So, you know, unless they asked, if they would ask me, I would always just tell the truth. If I figured, okay, if I'm going to get caught, if getting caught in a lie here is going to be worse than telling the truth up front, I'm going to tell them I'm an American. But if they didn't ask, I would just roll with whatever they said. If they just assumed I was Russian, which that was the case a lot of the times, I just went with it. But it's incredibly easy. Anybody, if you have enough money to pay these people, you will get from South America all the way to the U.S. border. And of course, if you're physically able to walk through that jungle, which is, you know, beforehand, I figured, hey, I'm an in-shape guy. You know, you're an in-shape guy. Probably doesn't seem too daunting, which it's not. It's not the most strenuous thing to do, physically speaking. But then you get in there and you realize all the other circumstances. You realize, okay, if I was to have gotten sick while I was in there, I'm a dead man. Nobody's coming to help me. And later on the trip, I did. I got salmonella and E. coli, and it hit me. I was like, okay, if I had gotten sick like this in that jungle, I probably would have been a dead man.
Now, right? Is that from what you ate or some of the waters you had to cross through?
I don't even know. But when you're traveling through places like that, it could be anything. It probably was one or the other, you know? But yeah, I mean, you know, you're eating all types of sketchy food. And a lot of times, you know, they'll put like some sketchy looking tomato slice or something in your food. You'll push it away, but it's too late. It already touched everything, right?
It kind of sounds like prison food to me.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's kind of the same way. Like, you're so starving all the time, you'll eat anything.
Exactly.
I mean,
exactly.
At that point. So put that map back up there. I'm assuming this is a map of your journey. I just want to go through basically a play-by-play with you here. Okay. So you fly into, you said, Ecuador. Okay. And where do you begin, and what is your first action to get into the caravan or to start your journey across the border?
So I brought with me a folder here with the most, I have a ton more documents than this, but I just brought the most important ones. So we're going to get into this immediately. And as it pertains to your question, here's the first document that I want to pull out. So you fly into Quito and, you know, immediately you start seeing things. The first thing I saw there was, for example, a Chinese hotel, a hotel that's just straight up full of Chinese people that are on their way to the United States.
Hotel is filled.
Yes. With people that are on the way to the U.S. It was interesting. It wasn't quite a hotel, actually. It was more like an Airbnb is what I was told. And it was fenced off, so I couldn't actually get, you know, onto the premises.
Are these well-funded, you think, Chinese nationals?
All the Chinese nationals are well-funded.
Okay.
They're all taking the most expensive route. We could get to that. When I ended up going through the gap, the route that I took was the most expensive route, and it was mostly Chinese, about 60 to 70% Chinese. And other SIA, special interest aliens. There were Syrians in there with me. There were Afghans, and then there were a few Venezuelans, which you don't really see in there because, again, it's the most expensive route. But we'll get to that. But the first thing you see – so we go from Quito. We were only there for a day or two, and then we went immediately to this border town called Tolkien, which is right on the border of Colombia. And, you know, the first – Tolkien is – I have two artifacts I'd like to show you. The first –
Yeah, here, try to coordinate that with the doc cam, guys. Yeah, put the doc cam back on there so he can show you here.
So the first thing I want to show you guys – put this right here. I have multiple models. Hold it up to the camera as well. Is this map here? And you see these maps everywhere. This is a map of Ecuador. It's a quote unquote migration map. I mean, you could see it yourself here.
Now, is that a UN or who hands these out?
So this is by a group R4V, but that's just a sub agency of the United Nations, directly associated with them.
Okay.
And the thing about this is these are everywhere. So I mean, you go to a bus station in this town called Tolkien, and these are just openly displayed.
Well, I was going to say it does look like here. So. I mean, if you've ever ridden public transportation or bus route, I mean, it looks just or trains, it looks like it's just this is the bus route, essentially. So are these the illegal immigration pipeline routes then? Is that what they have mapped here?
This is literally what they call it. Rutas de refugiados, inmigrantes.
So that's how organized this thing is. Is it has maps the equivalent of a U.S. subway system or bus system, all for the illegal immigration pipeline.
And it says on the back. I mean, you can see right here. It says on the back. It actually tells you the bus.
Oh yeah, like there's the blue line. There's the red line.
Exactly. And so this is all carving of Ecuador. Now another thing.
And it's not hard to get your hands on one of these.
Not at all. Like I said, this same exact map is literally displayed openly on like bus stations, like just in the terminal, just like a giant version of it that you can snap a picture of. And you know, another thing I learned, it's not just Ecuador, all of South America is basically carved up. Like they have these same things of Peru, even further south. So that's the first thing you see. Then you go to this town called Tolkien. And when you get to Tolkien, like I said, it's right in the border of Colombia. It's like every single NGO that you could imagine that is associated with this whole mass migration operation is there. And they actually hand out these maps, and it's like a treasure map. I mean, you guys could put the camera on that. Every single NGO that they have in that town that has to do with this whole illegal alien pipeline is listed here. And you could see every single one of them. You could follow this if you're one of these people. Take this map and just go to every single one of these and get all the information or aid or instructions or maps that you need, and then cross directly into Colombia.
Each stop is posted this map. Now, we got 60 seconds left till the break here, so let me just ask you this. I mean, was this beyond what you expected to see? or were you expecting this? And then what are you thinking when you realize what is available to anybody who wants to come in illegally, and how organized it is?
Yeah, you know, I didn't really know what I was expecting. I knew I was going to see something, but I didn't know what I was going to see, right? But once I saw this, I was like, okay, we're in the right spot now, you know? And it only got better from here. I mean, this is just the beginning. It just continues to get more and more ridiculous. I'll show you another document, which is actually quite insane, that I picked up from here, how to put on a condom by the IOM. But yeah, I mean, it just continues going on from here. I mean, like I said, this is literally just, this is like an outer staging point. There are many other points, you know, for example, in Venezuela and other parts of Colombia, and they all then converge in the gap. So it gets more insane. This is just one stop on the outskirts.
So think about it. This is what it totally confirms. This is government run. Call it the UN or US government, it doesn't matter. Folks, this is a subway system. We have subway systems and maps, bus systems and maps, public transit funded, and it is laid out just like it. We have public transit to get into the country illegally. Learning more about our guest's trip across the border, Anthony Rubin here, muckraker.com is the website, at Real Muckraker on Twitter, and he's telling me a lot of these stories that it's just crazy. I mean, wow, what a journey you had, and you and your brother, so it's just incredible. But I'm not sure where I want to pick off, because we just talked about so much in the break, but let's stay chronological here. So you get these documents. It's like, folks, have you ever traveled to New York or Chicago, whatever, you get there, you're a tourist, you find the bus routes, you find the subway routes, and you say, oh, okay, I'm going to the Yankee game, or I'm going here, and then you look at the bus routes, you say, I'm getting on the red line, and I transfer to the blue line. They have this entire infrastructure with the UN, except to get to the United States of America illegally. So you fly, you're a tourist, you fly to New York. You want to go to the Yankee game. You want to go to the Empire State Building. You want to go to Times Square. You find the train system, the subway system, and you find out what you got to do to go there. Oh, well, you're an illegal immigrant. You want to come to the United States. The exact same resources and infrastructure is available to you. So pick it up where you left off with this map here, which is it's the illegal immigrant pipeline infrastructure, which is public. It has public transportation and documents for you to make sure it's nice and easy.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, everybody that's watching this at home, if you're watching this right now, and I'm not sure how far we're going to get, but, you know, for example, this map right here, I've never seen this published anywhere. I'm not sure if anybody has, but the point is, you know, you are probably going to walk away from this broadcast knowing more about the invasion of the United States than probably anybody in the legislative branch of our government. I mean, these people don't know anything. They have no idea what's going on. So this is exclusive firsthand stuff. I'm just going to show you this. This is more hilarious and comical than anything. But this is actually handed out by the International Organization of Migration, also known as the IOM, but the OIM in Spanish.
It's got a nice American flag on there, too.
Got a nice American flag. But what this is, and this is literally handed out. I tried to get the full kit, but they wouldn't give it to me. That actually comes with the condoms and the day after pills. But this is literally step-by-step instructions in Spanish of how to put on a condom, if you could even believe that.
What is the purpose of this?
Well, I mean, we know they want to reduce the Earth's population, so maybe they're trying to kill two birds with one stone, right? Collapse our country and make sure that they don't increase the population at the
same time. Are they giving out condoms with this?
Yeah, it comes in a whole kit, but they wouldn't give me the kit for whatever reason. But I was like, let me just take the pamphlet.
So, okay, I'm just trying to reason what the thought process here is. Is it because when these illegal immigrants are raping women and children so they don't spread STDs or get the kids pregnant or what?
Yeah, so that's what we thought originally. So, you know, when I went down to the Darien Gap the first time, we were seeing these kits. I never saw it with this pamphlet, but we were seeing people come over with the kits that had the condoms and the day after pills, and some of them had whistles too.
So, I mean, think about that. This is the UN, and I guess this one has the American flag on it, so this is the U.S. government involved in this somehow. They know it is such an issue of women and children getting raped on this illegal immigrant pipeline that they give them morning after pills and condoms, hoping they don't get an STD or get pregnant. So they know rape is such a normal circumstance with this, that instead of trying to stop it, they just say, well, it's at least better if you can have a morning after pill or a condom.
Correct. Correct. It literally says right here. It says in very small text. The camera's not going to pick it up, but it says in Spanish, con el apoyo financiero de, and then the American flag, with the financial support of the United States. So, you know, all the Americans at home, you guys are paying for this. Anyway, this is just, like I said, more comical than anything, but this is what they're handing out. It's a big joke. Let's see what document we could get to next. Well, so after that, see, you got that printed out there, the Chinese hotel. So then you cross over into Colombia. And the first stop that we made was at this place called Pasto, okay? Anybody that wants to look this up at home, we are right across from the Antonio Nariño Airport. And there is a hotel there, the Cabañas Rio Mayo Hotel. That's where we stayed. And we just stumbled upon this hotel by accident. We weren't looking for this, what I'm about to explain. But what we saw there was essentially a giant Chinese staging hub is what it was. The entire hotel, and when I say the entire hotel, I mean I literally spoke to hotel staff, and they confirmed that we were the only people that were staying there, the only people being me and my brother, who were not Chinese. And I got a hold of the actual records, the books for the people that had been staying there over the past few weeks, and I snapped photos of them. I didn't publish it because that's what Antifa does. That's called doxing, and that's not what I'm going to do. There was no journalistic reason, really, for me to publish that information publicly. But I did. I snapped photos going back weeks, and it was every single person there was from China, all headed to the United States. So, I mean, that's what's going on. And this is not the only such hotel that I encountered that was like this along the way. There were more, but this is the only one that I stayed at, and I got the best footage. I saw others along the way where I would film, and I would, you know, they would tell me to stop filming, and given kind of the danger of the situation, I would listen to them. But point is, there are hotels like this all along the way, and the Chinese are very well-funded. They're getting to the U.S. in record time faster than everybody, because if they can, they take planes. For example, from here, I said it's right across from an airport. They'll take a plane across Colombia, whereas, you know, people that are coming in, for example, Ecuadorians that are here that are coming over, they'll actually trek across Colombia or take buses. The Chinese will fly right, you know, to the next stop.
So they'll just fly border to border, basically.
If they can, they'll fly all the way up to Mexico if they got the appropriate visa. Most of these people, though, are going to head to a town called Nacocli. That's one of the last stops before they actually enter the gap. And, you know, I actually interviewed one of these men, and he admitted to me straight up something that we already know. It's not a secret, but it's just pretty incredible when you hear it firsthand, that there are Chinese police in the United States. And he's just openly saying this. He said, please blur out my face. I don't want anybody to see me saying this openly, but just openly telling me, oh, yeah, there's Chinese police in the U.S.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you think about it, it has to be that way, because what I was going to ask you, and I don't – because I really want you to finish this whole story. We got two segments left, but it's like somebody's running this. Somebody's making sure that they get in. Somebody's making sure they get the visas or whatever they need, whether it's Mexican cartels or Chinese cartels or the Chinese government or people that left and fled from China that are running this now. I mean, people are running this from the inside.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we know, for example, that there are a lot of – I don't really want to get off topic too much, but this is important. There are a lot of nation states that meet in forums. They have these big international forums, and they actually talk about how, you know, borders are racist and they're imperialist, and we need to, you know, allow these caravans to march up to Mexico.
Except Ukraine and Israel. They get a nice strong border, so that's not racist.
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, it's a joke. What it is, we're being colonized, essentially, is what's happening. I'll give people some things that they could go and they could research on their own. They could look up the former president of Honduras, Mel Zelaya, who total socialist. And he goes to these forums. One of them is Foro Multiunidos. Another is Foro Sao Paulo. And these forums are basically like forums with delegates from all of these Latin American socialist countries. And they're also they have representatives from Syria there as well in Palestine. And they meet at these forums. And the talking point a lot of times at this forum is about how, you know, we need to allow mass migration of people through Mexico into the United States. It's really incredible. I wish I had printed it out, but people could look up Joseph Heumeier for the Center for a Secure and Free Society, who has published white papers exposing all of this, you know, talking about how these caravans are basically like military caravans. You know, they're not – think about how hard it is. We're running out of time, but think about how hard it is, just going at the break, everybody at home, think about this, how hard it is to organize a group of even 10 people walking through New York City. And think about a caravan of 6,000 people, single file, walking to the United States.
But see, and this is the question that really exposes the whole thing. Do they ever go to any other country?
What do you mean?
What is the final destination for all of these illegal immigrant caravans?
United States, always.
Exactly. It's an agenda, folks. It's an invasion. Everything else they tell you is a lie. This is an invasion and a takedown of the United States of America. This is the only country that allows this.
never give up the fight.
Infowars.com.
Hi, this is Jeff with DMO Knives, and we are super excited to partner with Alex Jones for this style Breacher knife from DMO. For a limited time, our tactical Breacher, through our Alex Jones partnership, will be designed like this. We have our black over OD Cerakote, OD G10 composite handles with the following logos upon them. Betsy Ross flag over here with Alex Jones signature here. And then you flip that over and we've got Donald Trump. Fight, fight, fight. We've had these things crammed in a Humvee, prying open a door in Syria. We've shot them at the range. They have survived. They have a lifetime guarantee. So if you ever break one, we'll replace it for you to help develop the toughness and sturdy and durable and usability, along with the beauty. There's four different heat stages that we put this thing through to come up with a dual level of hardness for your usability and sturdiness. It's built to never fail the operator. Made in America, by Americans, for Americans. How much stronger can you get than the DMO quarter-inch thick steel Breacher? Patriotic, strong, just like America. Again, we are super excited to team up with Alex Jones with DMO Knives for this product, which is our patriotic tactical Breacher. You can't get more patriotic than this. We can't wait to get them in your hands.
In the last 6 months, as InfoWars has been fighting for its very existence, we've had a lot of great organizations and groups reach out wanting to support us. Well, I got to tell you, Dead Moose Ops is one of the best. They put out some of the most amazing collectible limited edition knives and other amazing collectibles with folks like the Hodge Twins and so many others. These guys are bringing great products to the American people, and they're keeping some of the most important talk show hosts on the air as we win the fight against the globalists. So we've decided to come out with 500 of their best-selling limited edition knife engraved specifically for InfoWars. It's amazing. So here it is with the American flag, the original 13, Alex Jones, and it is such a storied knife. It's a special operations style knife. It's of the highest quality steel made right here in America in Arkansas. This knife cost over $115 to just produce because it's of the highest quality materials at the highest standards. And there's only 500 of these limited inscription knives with the original 13 colonies flag, commissioned by George Washington, and laser inscribed with my signature, Alex Jones. This is a very important fundraiser. You know, on NPR and on PBS, you know, they get hundreds of millions of dollars of tax money every year. They will sell a coffee mug for $100, though it costs $5. And you know you're getting memento to know you supported communism and evil and the New World Order. Well, this is a knife that cost over $115 because it's such high quality. And when you get the knife and you pay the extra money to fund the operation, you are changing the world. So if you want a limited edition knife that is simply amazing, read all about it right now at DMOKnives.com. It is DMOKnives.com. This is a true piece of Americana, and it funds the operation. There's only 500 of this knife available. So please be part of this fundraiser and have this piece of history. Go to DMO, that's Dead Moose Operatives, but just DMO, the letters DMO, knives.com, it's on screen, and you get an additional $25 off when you use promo code Alex. Everybody should go to InfoWarsPhone.com right now. InfoWarsPhone.com. They have all the solar panels, all the charging stations, all the best sat phones, all the best sat radios, all the best equipment at the best prices, and they support the broadcast. InfoWarsPhone.com. I think it's a default move to do this. It's an absolute essential. And it is so important to get ready. And I'm telling myself that
if there's an EMP attack, your cell phone's just nothing but a brick. Right. And I know that even in the law enforcement part of it, that when people are, run their phone, they can turn their phone off. And for 72 hours, somebody in our group can ping that phone and track that phone for 72 hours. So you're not off the grid. So make sure you get your Faraday sleeve. Have a sat phone as a backup. If you're concerned about secure messaging, the Black Phone will secure end-to-end encryption.
Everybody should go to InfoWarsPhone.com right now.
The InfoWars system is very simple. We tell you the truth about what's going on in the world, and we ask that you support us in exchange. If we don't tell you the truth, you probably won't support us. That's our only incentive. All we have is you, the InfoWars audience. And just like our information has to be good, or else we can't expect your support, well, our products have to be good, or we can't expect you to be returning customers. And everybody knows some of the bombshell, incredible, iconic supplements at InfoWarsStore.com. But what some InfoWars audience members don't know about is the InfoWars MD line of supplements. This is our premium line of supplements, and there's something for everybody here. This is the newest line of supplements from InfoWars, designed to boost vitality and enhance overall well-being, available exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Whether you're looking to support immune health, improve cognitive function, or increase energy levels, our meticulously crafted formulations cater to your diverse needs. Only at InfoWarsStore.com.
And people are listening to me are like, well, I don't believe in Jesus. I don't believe in the devil either. Oh, no, you've been captured. Because if you don't believe in Jesus, or you don't believe in the devil, is the devil telling you that? There's a blindfold. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 4:4 that the devil, that's the god of this world, has put a veil over people so that they don't see the light of the gospel. So, like, one day I'm just crying out and praying for the nation because, like I said, my main job in this world is an intercessor for the nations, and then my side hustle is being a doctor and a businesswoman. I can't believe that in 2024, you're still in a position where you can get a serious disease from COVID, end up with COVID long symptoms, and possibly die. So please, please, just listen to me. Go on drstellamd.com, do a telemedicine appointment, get hydroxychloroquine and ivermectin in your medicine cabinet today. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. For people right now, for a family, if you want to like build defense for your family, is to get Covivites, to get the Pox Defense. And if you have children, get the Immunovites for children, because it has zinc, it has elderberry. So this is what we're calling right now the Trifecta Family Pack. So you get the immune defense for your family, you get your defense against pox, you get defense against, build your immunity against COVID, against bird flu and dengue and all these other RNA viruses. So my advice, please listen to me. Go on our website, drstellamd.com. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount. We put this together to help you, but I just want you to get it. Get it in your head that we are at a time when they want to destroy humanity. And because they're going to try to destroy humanity, we have to be prepared. Only those that are paranoid, that are prepared, would survive. So that is my pledge, and that is what we do. Your pledge is to make sure that you prepare you and your family. And of course, if you go on our website, if you use promo code Alex, you're going to get a discount.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Tossing truth salads with jelly and syrup. It's Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream right now at InfoWars.com/show.
All right, so this is an incredible stuff. We're kind of getting off the chronological order of this, but that's fine because I'd rather get all the different details. And you're telling me in the break here, again, my guest Anthony Rubin, go to his website, muckraker.com, at Real Muckraker on Twitter. I mean, quite frankly, you don't need to comment on this, but this is Pulitzer Prize winning stuff, my friend. Really, it truly is. And the story is even more compelling. But again, this goes back to the national security aspect, because I forget what I asked you in the break that led to this. But I asked you what was it that you didn't expect? Like, were there things you expected and didn't expect? And you said, well, there was a lot of hostility. I wasn't expecting a lot of hostility towards America or towards Americans, right? These people are coming to our country for a handout. They're coming to our country for free stuff. They're supposedly coming here to escape whatever hellhole they live in. But you experienced a lot of hostility, and there was one group in particular that stuck out to you. So talk about that again and lead us into this footage.
Sure. So, okay, cool. So I'm just going to take it from the beginning. So right now, what you guys are going to see is a group of military-aged Syrian men, okay? And so I filmed these people. This was the last time I encountered them. It was not the first time I encountered these men.
I encountered these men before I actually crossed through the Darien Gap. We all started at the same coastal village, a village named Coreto that's in Panama. These men, along with all the other illegal aliens that went into the jungle that day with me, showed up by boat at some odd hour of the night, maybe 4 or 5 in the morning. They got off the boat and they all are wearing crosses around their necks, right? Like cross necklaces. And you look like how rare it is to find a Christian person in Syria. And then think about how rare it would be to find a whole group of them and that all have interest in headed to the United States, you know, and put them on one boat. And they all have, you know, so it's extremely rare. And they were all wearing these necklaces. Some of them had tattoos that read Jesus, and they looked like fresh tattoos. That's why that's of importance. And they looked like fresh cross tattoos as well, some of these men had. You know, we're talking at first, I'm talking to these men. And then as soon as they find out that I'm an American, bam, the whole situation, the whole dynamic changes and they get very hostile towards me. They don't want to associate with me at all. Right. So, I mean, like we were saying during the break, that's a clue, right? There's a reason they don't want to associate with me.
It's like 3 clues in one, all wearing the cross necklace, all with the fresh Christian themed tattoos, like maybe it's a camouflage or something. And then they find out you're American and all of a sudden they don't want to talk to you. They get suspicious.
And all military aged. All military aged, not one woman or child with them. Yeah. Yeah, and they all claim to be from Homs, Syria. H-O-M-S, Syria. If that's any significance to anybody, maybe somebody, you know, from Homs, Syria can verify that or not if they know those people. But so anyway, we then were there for a day with these people because they get in there at like around 5 in the morning and then we didn't leave until the next day. So we're around these men, you know, like all day for 24 hours. And another thing that was interesting is during that time, so then that next night, the night before we're about to enter the jungle, there is actually a boat that comes and docks up next to these guys and they're up all night talking to whoever's in that boat. I don't know what the significance is there, but what I will say is this. These men ended up taking a different route than we took. So we started with a large caravan of mostly Chinese, 60 to 70% Chinese. Then there were Venezuelans sprinkled in there. There were some Ecuadorians. There's actually a couple from Ethiopia. And then there was a somewhat large group from Afghanistan, maybe 15 to 20 people. Then there were these Syrians. And somewhere along the way, you know, it's a large caravan, but it's not that large. It was about 400 to 500 people, I want to say, right?
Well, and it's worth mentioning too, for people listening, once they found out you were American, all of a sudden they started hiding their faces. They didn't want to be seen anymore. They're trying to make it so that you can't film them.
Correct. Correct. And so that's right. And so, you know, we all enter the jungle the next day. And like I said, it's a large caravan, but it's not that large. You start recognizing, you know, the different groups and the different faces, right, that are in this caravan. But the one group that I didn't see was the Syrians. And I kept talking to my brother. I was like, have you seen them? And the reason why I was asking is because these men were hostile to us and I didn't want to encounter them. I was like happy that I didn't see them anywhere. And the entire time I never saw these Syrian men taking the route that we took, even though we had the same starting point. So then, you know, after 2 days of trekking through the jungle, we get to a refugee camp. And the way that we got to this refugee camp, basically we got spit out on Highway 1, right? That's the Panamanian Pan-American Highway that goes from Alaska all the way down to the very tip, southern tip of Panama. And the way we got to this was we popped out on Highway 1 and we walked south to north, right? And we reached this refugee camp. These men, I was at the refugee camp, they ended up coming north to south, meaning they took an entirely different route to get to that same camp that we were at. So, you know, it's just another clue. It shows that these special interest aliens, these guys from Syria, are taking a route that's totally detached for whatever reason.
Well, I try to work it out in my head and I'm thinking, okay, the crew is pulling up some information there on the screen, and Homs, Syria is well known as a Christian region of Syria, and apparently there's a bunch of revolutionary or freedom fighters there that I guess wanted to overthrow Assad, I think is what they showed on the screen there, guys, is what it said. So I'm thinking, okay, well, maybe they did flee that area because it was devastated, and then maybe they didn't want to be on camera because they're afraid that somebody will identify them at where they're at. But what doesn't add up to me at that point is, why would they be hostile towards you? Why would they be hostile towards the American? And then the coincidence of the fresh tattoos and the matching crucifixes. I mean, it's all, and then why would they tell you that too? Like, maybe that was all part of a narrative that they were trying to build in order to gain entry. There's so many questions there. But, you know, don't worry. I'm sure they'll get in and nobody will ever have to answer them.
Well, the point is, we don't know who these men are. They could be anybody. And then the other point is that, okay, maybe these are, you know, God-fearing fearing God worshiping men, right? They just want to go to church on Sunday and they want to open up. Okay, fine. But believe me, there are plenty military age men, not just from Syria, but from tons of special interest, you know, countries that are headed in here every single day. So even if this group isn't anything, and you could speculate. I've given you all the information in the audience, so do with it what you will. We know for a fact, I mean, we can infer based off of this information that there are plenty of groups with sinister intent that must be coming in here probably on a daily basis.
Well, and I mean, how many groups would you say like this kind of just raised that suspicion, you know, just kind of raised that ire where you're like, something just feels off with this.
You know, different groups raise it in different ways. Different groups raise in different ways. Like, for example, you get people from all different countries that kind of give you bad looks, being the American with the camera, right? But these guys were like, this group I felt the most unsafe with for sure. I mean, these guys, I felt like I was going to get my throat slit, you know, whereas the Venezuelans, and I'm not even saying that they're all bad people, right? Whereas the Venezuelans, though, the ones that are nasty to you, I'm more worried, okay, maybe this person's giving me the kind of vibe where he might jump me, right? But it's two totally different vibes. And then the Chinese aren't like that at all. The Chinese just kind of give you a nasty look, if at all, and then just keep their distance from you and don't go anywhere near you. So it's just different, man. Different cultures, different ways of handling the situation of the American with the camera.
Now, is all this footage available on your website? Because, I mean, you have, again, this is Pulitzer Prize winning stuff, Pulitzer Prize winning work that you've captured here. Is this all on muckraker.com?
The stuff that I've released, you guys could find it on my Twitter, which granted, I've only released a small fraction of everything that I caught. My brother and I are going to be releasing a documentary as soon as possible. We're working on putting it together and releasing it. And it's going to be groundbreaking, man, because to the best of my knowledge, I don't believe that any journalist actually has taken the whole route. I've seen people do bits and pieces of it very well, but I've never seen anybody actually string it together and go all the way from Quito to the United States border.
Well, and when we get to the next segment, I want to talk about one of the more compelling parts of your story where you got kidnapped by the cartel and just an incredible story where, and then your commitment to finalizing this product and this project, you went back and you had to recapture a lot of the footage because they destroyed it. But I mean, how easy is it, would you say? I mean, I can go to Chicago or New York and I can hop on subways and get around with pretty much little difficulty. Maybe you might hop on a wrong train or something. I mean, how easy is it to get on this, what is essentially a public transit for illegal immigration? How easy is this to navigate?
If you have the money, as long as your pocket's flush with cash, you will make it with no problem at all. No problem at all. Like, I can't express it. I can't express that enough. It is the easiest thing in the world to do.
How many people do you think were on this just in the short time that you were on this caravan? How many other people do you think essentially made the same trek that you made?
It's hard to say because the caravan splits and forms different groups along the way, but we know the numbers right now. It's like 10,000 people a day coming in, man. Let's go with that number.
So you would say you saw probably 10,000 different people on this?
Easily.
And that's just one man's journey. Final segment with Anthony Rubin on the other side. He's not going to win a Pulitzer Prize for this, but he probably should. We'll be right back.
COVID vax causes more heart damage than COVID virus and brain, blood, immune cancer, reproductive study. I mean, there's so many of these studies. What do you make of that?
This finally settled the question, Alex. The COVID vaccine causes myocarditis in young people, not the infection. It's a government false narrative. It's been propagated through the American College of Cardiology and other agencies that the infection causes myocarditis. It doesn't.
Looking at this, then, we see these headlines constantly. When you follow the article, there's no link, there's no proof. It just says COVID's a greater risk of heart problems than the shot, and then they just lie.
It's essentially a giant medical lie perpetrated by the American College of Cardiology, the CDC, the NIH. This is a false narrative. No confirmed cases by adjudication or autopsy. Right. No hospitalizations and deaths. But the vaccine, I'm a cardiologist, Alex. I am knee deep in people with vaccine myocarditis causing heart failure. The vaccines do cause heart arrhythmias in some. It's inflammation in the heart, atrial fibrillation, sometimes ventricular arrhythmias.
COVID shots can enlarge and weaken the heart. Another study.
Heart failure can be an outcome of subclinical myocarditis. It's very important for people to realize they may not feel chest pain initially, but then they have the onset of effort intolerance, a pulmonary edema, congestion, and leg swelling. I have cases from Austin, Alex, referred up to my office. It's vaccine, myocarditis, and heart failure. They need treatment for this. The go-to is McCullough Protocol based spike protein detoxification with supplements available through onlinehealthnow.com.
Onlinehealthnow.com.
We have ample data now suggesting every cancer is increasing worldwide in virtually every organ system, and it's related to COVID-19 vaccines.
Now, I'm glad, Dr. McCullough, that you brought up how to detox, either whether you got COVID in the wild, which you know is a lot less from the studies, bad as taking the shots, but if you want to detox from it, you're one of the top research doctors out there, one of the, if not the most published. You have actually developed something, come up with something available at onlinehealthnow.com that you're saying is the go-to here. Spend a few minutes telling us about that anti-spike protein protocol.
It's the base of what we do now in long COVID and vaccine injury syndromes. It's caused because of accumulation of the spike protein from the infection, and in a massive doses from the vaccine, it gets stuck in the human body. We need to assist the body in clearing the spike protein. We have several years of observation, multiple peer-reviewed publications on this, very good support for doing this. It's nattokinase, which is a natural enzyme derived from the fermentation of soy. Japanese discovered it. Bromelain, a family of enzymes derived from the stems of pineapple. And then lastly, curcumin, derived from turmeric and Indian spice. These are all in capsule format. We give them in combination in between meals, and we're using accelerating doses. People are doing this across the world right now, Alex.
So you build up.
And we build up. Now listen, the initial starting doses were 2,000 units twice a day of natto. We're now going to 4,000 twice a day. We do give them in addition to blood thinners, and we have found sometimes it's the only way to dissolve the blood clots. When people get large vaccine blood clots, the blood thinners just hold it steady. They don't dissolve them. We actually have to give thrombolytic enzymes. That's McCullough Protocol-based spike protein detoxification.
And people can find out all the details of that at onlinehealthnow.com.
That's the go-to place. The wellness company provides, really the leading quality and the leading formulation. So the spike formulation has not only nattokinase, but five minor ingredients. We combine that with the curcumin and the bromelain for what we think is the ultimate spike detox trio. Onlinehealthnow.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Last segment here with Anthony Rubin at Real Muckraker on Twitter. A lot of this footage is there, but it's just a small fraction of what he has. Muckraker.com as well for some other stories and exclusives. And really, I'm honored because a lot of this stuff is exclusive right now. A lot of this stuff he's showing and talking about for the first time. And I'm telling you, folks, this is Pulitzer Prize winning stuff. They're not going to, obviously give him an award for this because he's a good American and not a dirty commie. But that's a whole other story. This is the kind of stuff why InfoWars has to exist. This is the kind of stuff why the War Room needs to exist. This is why your support at InfoWarsStore.com is so imperative. I don't want to take away any more of the time from this compelling story, but folks, please do some Christmas shopping at InfoWarsStore.com or just shop for yourself and take advantage of the huge Christmas sale happening right now at InfoWarsStore.com so that we continue to have great guests in studio and interviews like this right here at Band.video and InfoWars.com. Let me just ask you a generic question and then kind of get back into the weeds of it here. How many miles, do you know how many miles you traveled overall on this journey?
2,000 and something.
2,000?
Probably more than 2,000, but that's directionally accurate, between 2 and 3.
Does that count you having to go back and hop on the train a second time?
No, that'd probably add an extra 500 or so.
So let's talk about this, and I'll kind of just give a brief introduction to this, and then you get into the details. The first time you hop on, it's called the Beast Train.
The Beast Train, yeah.
So that's the train that you guys have seen probably. We've aired the footage on the show where they just load these trains up with people. They head to the southern border. Thousands of these people, they just come across. It's called the Beast Train. You actually took two rides on this. And now the first ride you took, you were on the roof. When you tried to cross the southern border, you got caught up by cartel members. They smashed your equipment. You lost all that footage. So you went back to take a second ride, get the footage again. Both those experiences were different. Let's lay into the details of that.
Absolutely. And before I do that, I need to just thank on air my brother Joshua Rubin, who was with you this entire time. If it wasn't for him, there was I might have gotten killed. I mean, I might have straight up been disappeared. It's far hard.
Yeah, we didn't really talk about the different dangerous situations you were in, but yeah, you took a risk.
Oh, straight up. And, you know, it's exponentially harder to disappear two people at once than one. And so I could have easily been disappeared if I didn't have my brother with me. So Joshua Rubin, my best friend in the world, my brother. Couldn't have done it without him. But, you know, without further ado, to talk about what happened, you know, we were – so we crossed into Mexico, and we were smuggled into Mexico by who I believe was the Sinaloa cartel. And I say that because when we were in Guatemala, we met with Guatemalan authorities, and they told us – the Ministry of the Interior, that's who we met with. And they told us that the area that we were going to cross – by Tecunuman, that's the last town in Guatemala before you enter Mexico, the area that we crossed. They said that was controlled by Sinaloa cartel. Now, I didn't confirm that. I didn't talk to my smugglers and find that out. But based on that information, if you look at maps, the territorial control of these different cartels, most likely Sinaloa. But that was the first thing we did. We got smuggled into Mexico by Sinaloa. Just take that for what it is. Extremely dangerous. I mean, sticking us in cars, these little cars with 10 people packed in them. The group that was with us when we did that was a group of military men from Sierra Leone that were all headed to America.
So are you just basically smashed shoulder to shoulder in these deals?
Straight up.
Like a clown car situation.
Like a clown, exactly.
But
like
you get in. Okay, so that's how you get into Mexico.
So that's how you get into Mexico. Then we find a massive caravan that's a little bit further north than Tapachula. It's in Huixla. And we catch up with them, and they're all stopped. Mexican authorities have stopped them, and they won't let them go any further north. And I put up a video. You guys should air it. Feel free to air it this segment or in the future. They're all chanting for Biden. I got them all chanting Biden at the top of their lungs. The most insane thing I've ever seen. So you could see the
Is that on your Twitter?
That's on my Twitter.
Yeah, guys, try to find that as he's talking.
Yeah, you guys could find that.
They're chanting for Biden.
Chanting for Biden. Straight up. Thank God. You know, I lost all of my footage from this first caravan except for that clip. Thank God. That was the most important one.
That's a miracle.
Yeah, thank God. Yeah, you guys, I don't know if you guys want to play the sound. It's
yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah, I mean.
It's a short clip, guys. Go ahead. This is on his Twitter. Well, looks like we're having an issue there. Well, so why don't you just go ahead?
It's all right. It's all right. And you can see this caravan carries a cross. Contención es mi muerte, right? Like that you being content is his death. Like somehow you're responsible for that by not opening up your border, right? Us. But, you know, there it is again, if they're going to play with sound.
Now, how does this happen? How is it they're chanting Biden?
Yeah, you know, I had been talking to them about Biden before, and they probably figured that's what I wanted to hear. There was a lot of things that they said before this. They were all screaming that they were from Honduras. They were saying that they were going to America, and then this guy just starts chanting Biden.
So they knew it was Biden that made this possible as far as, you know, his presidency. If it wasn't for the Biden presidency, they know this trip isn't happening.
Oh, I'm sure. You asked them, you know, what's your opinion between Trump and Biden? This is going to be a whole big part of our documentary because I asked that question a ton. And all of them, they say that you ask them, hey, so what do you think about Trump? They'll go, oh, no, we don't like Trump.
Because they know that the whole reason this trip is even possible and all the free handouts and everything is because Joe Biden got back in. But since we're short on time, so your first trip on the beast train and you get to the southern border, and this is where you get the cartel caps, you smashes your equipment, you have to go back again.
That's correct. So long story short, that was the first caravan that we embedded with. I rode the train of death on the top of it the first time, which is an important thing to mention, because the second time I rode in the inside of it, again with my brother as well the whole time. And so anyway, right on the top of the train the first time. Then eventually we're going to cross back into the United States, and we're going to cross right across from Elon Musk's SpaceX in Boca Chica, Texas. And for multiple reasons, that's where he chose that. Long story short, we're kidnapped by the Gulf cartel. They blindfold us. They tie up our hands. Men with, you know, assault rifles and pistols. One of them made a kind of a veiled death threat to me.
How scared for you for your life are you at this point?
There was a part of me that was thinking that we might have a bullet pin in our head for sure.
Worst during the whole trip? Was that the worst? Was that the scariest part of the trip?
It was either that or being smuggled into Mexico by Sinaloa. But Mexico as a whole was, I mean, that country is sketchy by far. That was sketchier than the Darien Gap. I'd rather be in the jungle. That country is controlled, man, by serious criminal elements. And these are criminal elements, you know, to bring it back to the kidnapping. I was kidnapped by the Gulf cartel, okay? There are many different cartel groups that control our border in different areas of the border.
If they would have found drugs on you, they probably would have killed you.
Or a weapon. They were searching us for weapons. And they were searching us for wires. They thought that we were military or intelligence or something. They had no, you know. But they let us go. thank God. But, you know, the point there, and, you know, whenever I tell the story and I tell the long version of it, whenever anybody asks me to do it, I always say at the end, I go, listen, this is not about me. This isn't some big self-aggrandizing story about how cool or brave I am that I got kidnapped. As a matter of fact, I find it to be very emasculating, probably how you feel about prison. I mean, it's not like a cool thing to have another group of men take you against your will.
Yeah, to be bound and hauled around, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not like proud of that at all, right? But the point that I always make is that there are literally, I mean, these men are narco-terrorists. You look at what some of the terrorist videos that these people put out that's meant to intimidate other groups, of them straight up chopping off an enemy cartel member's head.
Well, it was only a couple months ago where those Americans got killed by the Gulf cartels. It's probably because they were trying to run drugs in their territory and it went bad.
Straight up. And so my point in saying that is what? I'm not trying to make this about me. My point is that I've experienced this firsthand. You literally have literal terrorists that are controlling our southern border.
Well, and that's what it is. Who controls the U.S.-Mexico border? The terrorists control it more so than the American people even have a say or a right to try to stop it.
Correct. Even, this wasn't our first. So I said I had a run-in with Sinaloa on the train. Not on the train. When we got smuggled to Mexico, when we got loaded onto the train the first time, there were men that straight up, you ever seen the Batman that was made in the early 2000s? You know, the League of Shadows guys that trained Batman? These guys literally looked like they were from the Batman movie. They were members of the League of Shadows. I mean, they were wearing body armor. They had black face coverings, like a ninja, basically, with only their eyes showing. They had a freaking sword tucked in their back behind their body armor, and they were all carrying either an AR-15 or a shotgun.
So these are well-funded, well-organized groups. But now you go back into Mexico to take the train ride for a second time.
That's correct.
This time you're in the train.
So we go back into Mexico. This time we get on the train again, and it's a whole different situation. We're on the train. We get on, and it's pouring rain out. I don't really even see anybody boarding the train, and then I just see this train out in the distance through the fog, and we go running up to it, and we see these groups that are kind of boarding, and we get a spot not on the top of the train, but on kind of inside of a boxcar. And eventually this thing starts running, starts going. And, you know, they actually lock the doors from the outside. And you realize very quickly, you're like, wow, if this can go wrong instantly, I don't know who's – the next time they open up that door, there might be armed men facing me. But, you know, as soon as they did open up that door, a little while later, I went with my brother, even though it was pouring rain. There's a picture right there. That was it at night. I took that with my phone. I mean, you can imagine how sketchy that is. And you're locked in there with these people.
Yep.
And you got no idea. So you know, but ultimately I know we're short on time here. Ultimately, we made it out. And you know, that was that. Actually, the train ended up stopping because there was an issue with the tracks, and we actually had to walk through cartel-controlled territory about 8 miles to the city of Leon. I mean, it just – whatever – anything that could have gone wrong during this trip did, but we made it out. We're going to be putting out a documentary. We got some incredible footage, stuff that I don't even know if anybody's ever filmed or documented. I mean, such as, you know, this stuff right here. This is nothing compared to what else
there's
we got.
There's so much more to discuss, folks, and I learned a little bit more during the breaks. Like, you'd think, I mean, Border Patrol obviously knows this is going on. I wonder if SpaceX knows the activity that's going on right outside of its property there. But I'm telling you, such compelling work here from Anthony Rubin at Real Muckraker on Twitter, muckraker.com. You will be on with Alex Jones tomorrow. And hopefully you can expose more about this experience. But this is just incredible work, man. And a lot of this is exclusive, so we thank you for sharing it with us today. That does it for the InfoWars War Room. We'll see you again tomorrow.
I talk a lot about the high-quality supplements at InfoWarsStore.com and the great things they'll do for your health, your vitality, your stamina, your libido, your focus, your clarity. And I tend to talk about our best-selling products from InfoWars, MD. The Nitric Boost, the Turmeric 95, the amazing CBD gummies, and 1,000-milligram tincture. It's about as strong as it gets, highest quality. But these other products are excellent as well, and they're getting rave reviews. Let's talk about some of these other great products from InfoWars, MD, at InfoWarsStore.com. Superfood Greens, just a super high-quality equivalent to some of the best sellers that are out there. It's got a whole bunch of superfoods in it. You get everything you need in one big dose, with all the key cofactors and things that a basic vitamin mineral type system may not have in it. It is a superfood. We also, of course, have Good Night Sleep, just a good, high-quality, natural, herbal sleep system that gives you deep sleep that's so good for your immune system. But, of course, Nerve Renew helps your nerves be healthy and helps a lot with pain. People really, really love Nerve Review. Then we've got probiotic formula, an excellent probiotic. That's so critical to your health because just the chlorine in tap water, if you're drinking that or showering in it, you know, kills the natural flora in your gut. Better mood really gives you a clean, focused mindset, does amazing things. And then, of course, I'm really excited about ashwagandha with black pepper. This is an adaptogen, ashwagandha. Your brain, your heart, your mental clarity, your mood, your immune system. It just basically does everything. Ashwagandha is simply incredible. And then, of course, prostate support with the saw palmetto and more that's on record being so good for your prostate. These are just some of the products available at InfoWars MD line at InfoWarsStore.com, and your purchase funds the operation. So please do what thousands of others have done. Go to InfoWarsStore.com and check out the InfoWars MD line. Thank you for the support. Check out the products.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.